ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Presumed contenders in the fight for the White House were both at the U.S.-Mexico border on Thursday. ABC's Jim Ryan was in Brownsville and said there were supporters and critics of both President Biden and former President Trump.
Ali Schmidt would have voted for Biden, except that
Joe Biden has been enabling genocide in Gaza.
In Eagle Pass, Jesse Fuentes is furious about Governor Greg Abbott's heavy-handed approach to the border.
This unwanted militarization of our community is unwelcome.
But just what Donald Trump says is needed.
In Washington, Congress approved another stopgap funding measure averting a government shutdown. Firefighters in the Texas Panhandle are struggling to contain the largest wildfire in the state's history. It's only 5% contained. It's blamed for at least two deaths. In Russia, thousands turned out for Alexei Navalny's funeral 2 weeks after the opposition leader died in a penal colony. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Some changes may be coming to Wisconsin's Office of School Safety if it doesn't get more money. Attorney General Josh Call is asking lawmakers for more money for the office's 24-hour tip line. Federal money is keeping it open for the rest of this year. Call's plan would use money the state gets from concealed carry permits after that. $32 million cut from diversity offices is now going to workforce development at Wisconsin State Universities. Lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee took the final step yesterday. Democrats are slamming the Republican maneuver.
It was never proposed that this delay was intended to find additional resources to assist all students. This delay was created in order to remove resources from certain students.
Representative Tip McGuire. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. New fishing regulations for the St. Croix River are now in effect. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the new regulations will change bag and length limits for popular game fish and create a new fish refuge on the river. Some of the regulations include daily limits like catching a maximum of 5 catfish and only being allowed to keep one over 24 inches. The new fish refuge will also protect spawning fish from the State Highway 8 bridge upstream to the St. Croix Falls Dam. A new blood donation building is opening in Duluth, which will allow residents to donate blood platelets as well. Donating blood platelets is a more intensive process than just donating blood and requires extra space, special equipment, and advanced training. There aren't many places in the region that are equipped to take blood platelet donations, but they can save a lot of lives. The Memorial Blood Centers will be located at 14 East Central Entrance in Duluth, and a blood drive is taking place at Pier B Resort next week. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Civic Media's Rich LoCascio. Could you introduce me as a wrestler right now? You could call me like the Punching Bag or the Patsy or something.
From Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Punching Bag, Pete Schwabba.
Now I'd be looking across the ring at my opponent's eyes getting really wide as he got ready to wail on me.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The Packers are thinking defense. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where Packers GM Brian Gutekunst watching players work out, including the top-ranked defensive back in the draft, Iowa's Cooper DeJean, was asked if he'd enjoy playing again with fellow Hawkeye Lucas Van Ness, Green Bay's first-round pick last year.
It'd be cool to play with Lucas again for sure. I love the Iowa guys, you know. So he was a great teammate, you know, to play with. Just an absolute freak. I've talked to him a little bit throughout this process. He's given me some good insight.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago after beating the Hornets last night, 111-99. Doc Rivers says Damian Lillard is not only a lights-out shooter, but good on defense as well.
Dame has great hands. It's like you saw he got another steal in the second half. He told me that. He said, man, Doc, coach, I can play defense. It's just that Portland, I had to do a lot of offense. He said, now I can concentrate a little bit on both ends with all these guys, and he's doing that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 50 for a high this afternoon. The wind south at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, 32 tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55 by Sunday. Sun in the morning, a few showers in the afternoon with a high near 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Friday on Nightlight, I welcome Max Inc. host Terry Barr. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin, and thank God it's
Friday.
Yeah, thank God it's Friday, man. And March 1st.
Yeah.
Did it come in like a lion or a lamb?
Well, if you think 50 degrees is, lion.
Yeah, it's pretty lambish. But isn't it bad? If it comes in like a lamb, doesn't it go out like a lion? Isn't it?
Well, Sandy, I would say, and for those of you who may not know it by now, that's my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, it's the warmest February on record. It's the warmest winter on record. I don't think we should think that it's going to all of a sudden change. You said a little earlier about a pattern that we may be in. I'm leaning more to, it's not just Wisconsin. It's been warm all across the nation.
Well, you know, every year just about and when they keep annual records for heat, each year has been hotter than the prior year, and each year has been setting a record. So, maybe there's something to this global weather change concept, huh?
I just don't, for the life of me, understand anybody looking at this without a jaundiced eye, Sandy, shouldn't be worried, right? I mean, we're talking, there was only one cold snap the entire winter in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, it was 3 days where we were zero or right around. You know, I've been living long enough to know that's not the way it's been.
Yeah, you know, I spent all this time putting up I have 100-by-60-foot ice rink I put up. I put up the walls for it and everything, and I can look out the window and see the walls, but no ice. I never had a chance to lay down any ice and have an ice rink. So that's pretty much an unusual circumstance.
Well, Sandy, and you've done that for many years now. How many years has it been that you haven't been able to do that?
This is the first time.
Yeah.
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 It's clear that at least the current trend, I mean, you can say, well, who knows what's going to happen in the long term, but year after year is beginning to turn into something like the long term. So, for annual weather records, you know, we have cold bursts, and everyone says, see, it's not really global warming because it's frigid cold out. But if you look at the annual weather data, you know, each year has been warmer than the prior one.
You know, Sandy, and for people and businesses who rely on that cold weather and the winter weather, It's not. It's a bad harbinger.
Just think what would have happened. You know, back in the day, at the turn of the last century, people had ice boxes. Okay, they didn't have refrigerators, right. And they had ice that was cut into big cubes that was delivered to them. And that ice came from lakes all around Wisconsin, around Milwaukee. They would cut the ice off the surface of the lake, put it in barns that were lined with hay so that there'd be insulation to keep the ice blocks cold. And that was at least one of the sources. That was the cheapest source of ice. They could have big compressors that could make ice, but mainly they cut it on a lake. So this year you'd be out of luck. If you had an ice box, you'd be out of luck for ice.
You know, Sandy, hey, Calvin, you remember those times, don't you?
No. I can't say I do.
You know, Sandy, the lake didn't freeze over.
Right.
So
none of the lakes froze over.
So, a small lake must have froze over because I saw Eric Hovde.
Oh, that's right. The ice fishing guys. Yeah.
Eric Hovde, the guy who's running against Congresswoman, Senator.
Senator Baldwin, yeah.
He was in a lake on yesterday sitting in this ice, I guess. You know, they cracked a little bit open so he could sit in and prove to the people that he's a Wisconsinite. And then he challenged Senator Baldwin to do the same.
You know, it's not that hard. You just you shuffle your feet out on the ice and then you open the door. And mainly what you'd have to be able to do to ice fish, I think, is sit and drink schnapps.
Well, he wasn't looking.
I think it's a schnapps drinking contest event.
Yeah, but he wasn't looking to do any fishing. He wanted to prove a point. The Democrats are saying he's in California. He lives there. He's got everything there. And he wanted to prove to the people by sitting in this, you know, little lake with where they had to crack the ice. And he's doing this commercial. See, I'm from Wisconsin. And, well, you know, whoever came up with that,
Yeah, sounds like proof positive, right?
Poof.
Now they'll find out that it was all done on a movie set someplace in Hollywood.
Let's bring Al from Milwaukee. I know he remembers the ice box. He probably still has one. Hey, Al, what's going on?
I do. I have one in my garage. But you guys forgetting what season it is.
What's that?
Season is this. Starting on the 11th of March, it's track season. Indoor track runs from the 11th of March until April. Then everything is outdoors. When we hit outdoors, it's always cold and it's always wet and it snows until May. So don't let this weather fool you.
It's the warmest winter on record. It's the warmest February on record. What makes you think March is going to all of a sudden change?
I coached for 50 years, track and field. And every year we have warm weather in February and the beginning of March. And by the time we hit outdoor season, which is the first of April, it snows.
Hey, Sandy, you want to take a crack at this guy, Sandy?
I got to agree with him because I coach rowing, right? And so I go out on the Milwaukee River in March, and I can tell you that I will freeze my tail off on the Milwaukee River in March. And it will be colder than you can imagine sitting still in a boat, cruising down the river.
Guys, that's not following a record-breaking winter warmth and February warmth. It's not the usual. It's something that's different. So
I'm with Al. I'm with Al. I know really well that as soon as you go outdoors to start the workouts, it'll get colder than you can believe. You'll be running around in sweatpants and wishing it was more.
Hey, Sandy. The daffodils and the tulips are coming up.
Well, they're fools too.
hey, Al, you really aren't trying to sell that, are you?
Yes, I've been living through it for over 50 years.
Well, what else can we expect from a guy who's still got an icebox at Calvin?
I say it,
probably in the kitchen.
But well, he said it was in the garage.
I know, but
which is where it belongs.
I'm challenging that. It's probably in the kitchen. He's probably.
I can remember. Listen, I can remember Wisconsin Ice and Coal people coming with hooks and big cubes of ice, and not to my house, but to the neighbor's house.
Hey. We had a wagon, a guy with a wagon bringing ice down the street, and you could buy a 50-pound block for 15 cents. And we had two ice boxes in the house when I was a kid.
Well, I saw that in the movies, man.
Delivered a horse-drawn wagon. No, this was true, up and down the street.
Hey, Calvin's laughing. I mean, I saw that in the movie. I don't quite remember, you know. That
sure. Yeah. Right.
Hey Al, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, it look, man.
Hey, I want to alert the people of Wisconsin, however, that the Earl that I know is back. I'm looking at him and I seeing a gray beard and everything. So the bet has finally grown out.
Well,
Earl had a bet with Gilbert Brown, and I forget what it was, but he lost it. And as a result, he was dyed back to his youthful colors.
Hey, you know, Sandy, let me, who was it? If I look
You're changing the subject, are you?
Man, you know, it's a little easier to maintain this way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
I don't have to worry about rain.
You know, we got a lot that we're going to be talking about today, Sandy. And, you know, I got a lot of different subjects to talk about. They're going to be all over the map. We're certainly going to talk about some politics. We have to talk about politics, you know, because it's, you know, always one of the most important subjects to talk about. But, you know, Sandy, I wanted to do you remember 1969, and the first man on the moon. You remember his name?
His name. Oh, wow.
I know you'll remember it after we take a short pause.
I will. Yeah, yeah. Huh.
So what I want to ask.
First, one step for mankind.
One small step for man, a giant step for mankind.
For mankind, right.
Do you believe we were really on the moon?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I never did buy the Hollywood set kind of a thing. No.
Well, you know there are people who still don't believe that, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So you know, we've just had a couple of contraptions. A private company sent a contraption to the moon, and then our government sent a contraption to the moon, and neither one of them are working.
Well, I think the government's contraption went on the rocket of the private vendor, right? So in one rocket had a payload that included government stuff and private stuff, and none of it worked. It landed on the south pole of the moon, and it lasted about a day instead of a much longer time.
So we're going to talk about that. 844-967-2789 on a warm morning here, Sandy, in Wisconsin. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
After my wife died, I felt like I lost everything, including my love of fishing. But one day, my granddaughter called, and I realized I still had a lot to look forward to. I got referred to a psychiatrist who explained depression can happen to anyone. Getting help doesn't make me weak. It makes me stronger. I just wish it made me better at fishing.
Mental health care is working for Diego. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Want some whiskey in your water, sugar in your tea? What's all this crazy question they're asking me? This is the craziest party that could ever be. Don't turn on the lights, cause I don't want to see. Mama told me not to come.
So that's some music you can bob your head to this early in the morning, Sandy.
Absolutely. It bobbed my brain back into remembering Neil Armstrong as the first man on the moon.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, it's not just that Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon. There were 12 successful moon landings and 12 men who walked on the moon, not just Neil Armstrong. And so for many people who even today don't believe that we actually were on the moon, the real question, Sandy, that I wanted to pose is, with technology having advanced as far as it has, we were on the moon in 1969. A man actually walked on the moon and returned. How is it possible that the private moon landers, there's one that's there now, but it broke its leg and it's having trouble, and so it's about to end. We just sent one there, and it fell over on its side, and it's no longer. What is that? The technology has advanced to the degree you would think that we shouldn't have any problem sending a contraption to the moon and working with all the money and all the technology. Were the people in 1969, those scientists and the people who were able to send man to the moon, a little more advanced than what we're dealing with now?
I don't know. I was just thinking about it. You know, 1957 is Sputnik. We don't even have rockets that can do anything like that in 57. And 12 years later, we've got someone on the moon, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it did happen. Maybe it did all happen in Hollywood. No, I mean, I can remember sitting in the people I was with, I think it was July 19th, sitting watching the moon landing on TV.
Well, the whole world was watching it.
Yeah. It was an incredible event. And, no, the rockets they sent up then were huge, bigger than the ones they deal with now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know why they can't do it. Back in the 60s, they had an immense army of people focused on it. I mean, NASA was a truly big organization, and we were sinking vast amounts of federal dollars into it. We have nowhere near that level of commitment to it today.
Yeah, but
and we've handed it off to private ventures, who are obviously trying to go on a cost-effective way. I'm sure there was nothing cost-effective about our moon landing in 1969.
Well, wouldn't you think the advancement of technology, Sandy, would certainly eliminate, you know, all of the different manpower that they were using way back then, and the technology itself would replace that? I see Calvin.
You think?
Okay, go ahead.
I don't know. I mean, I think we took our foot off the pedal in terms of investing money in spacecraft sometime in the 80s when we abandoned the Apollo program. And maybe we just, everything went on hold in terms of developing the kind of infrastructure and technology. There, obviously, our computer technology is much, much greater now than it was then.
Well, that's the point I'm trying to make, Sandy. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, sending man to Mars. We're talking about the moon. We were there, you know, and at a time when I remember, as you well remember, the little cones that were the capsules
that when they land in the ocean.
You know, you probably, your garage is probably bigger than those capsules. And yet they were able to send that and make that all happen. I'm just curious. Again, Sandy, with the advancement of technology, and if this is a harbinger, they have to really be kind of upset that this thing has died, because it sets back all the things they're talking about, wouldn't you say? With man landing on the moon again?
Well, I mean, I guess it had sort of a bockety landing that, and then the device that was going to move around on the ground broke a leg, right?
Right.
So, which is the admonition you give to someone to when they're going to go on the theater, right? Go out on the stage,
break a leg, yeah.
Break a leg, yeah. But apparently, this spacecraft actually did it.
But two things, Sandy, the private industry also have a contraption there, and it broke its leg, so it's not working. And then the government itself, the same thing. So when people say, let's let the private industry handle it, they both failed in this instance. Let's do this. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Sandy. First, we the people ultimately are the government, not the corporations, and we need to wake up and realize that, and we need to get money completely out of politics and lobbyists out of politics. Second, I'll tell you, there was a film probably 20 years ago now called The Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore. And I would say everything that Al Gore said in that movie is exactly what's happening. It was a nice warning in terms of climate catastrophe and what's going on there. My next point is that the we're just really lucky that the Hoover Dam wasn't built by a private industry. that it was actually done by the tax dollars from we the people to actually make a difference. And you know what previous presidents had done before Ronald Reagan came in and said that private does it better than we the people government. So, yeah, I just hope that people realize that. I mean, I really would love to see all these billionaires. I would love to see them go to the moon. I would love to see Elon and Branson and what's the face from Amazon? I'd love to see them all go to the moon or go into space and see how it works for them. I'm really looking forward to that day when the billionaires go there.
Hey Tom, thank you very much for the call. Everybody else, hang on. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. News, weather, and sports up next on 540 AM WAUK. And 101 FM, the show.
Somebody's hot. That ain't the way to have fun. Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Vice President Kamala Harris will talk about the economy and apprenticeships when she visits Wisconsin next week. Her visit to Madison will be her second trip to Wisconsin this year and the sixth time since taking office. Observers expect Wisconsin will be one of just a few states to tip November's presidential election. You've heard of inflation, but what about shrinkflation? Senator Tammy Baldwin tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes companies are putting less product in their packaging but charging the same.
Wheaties went from a family box of 16 ounces to 14 ounces. With some of the dish detergents, they actually haven't shrunk the size of the bottle. They just put less liquid in it.
Baldwin's Shrinkflation Prevention Act would empower lawyers and regulators to fight back. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The first heart surgeon at St. Luke's Hospital has retired after 20 years. According to a Northern News Now report, Dr. Mary Boylan is stepping down as chief of cardiothoracic surgery after becoming the healthcare organization's first heart surgeon in 2003. A number of other medical professionals, as well as a bunch of former patients, made appearances at St. Luke's on her final day to thank her and give her a proper send-off. Dr. Boylan will remain active in retirement and work with the American Heart Association. Duluth Mayor Roger Reinhart has announced some potential solutions to what residents say is a dangerous stretch of road on West Skyline Parkway. Two people were killed in the area of the 1500 block of West Skyline Parkway in February, which prompted residents to call for city officials to do something to make the intersection safer. Mayor Reinhart proposed a few ideas to do that, including flashing lights on the stop signs, a mobile speed monitor along the road, and adding bump strips to force cars to slow down in the area. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular and known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Paramount Plus has announced a Ray Donovan spinoff 4 years after the show was canceled. People Magazine reports Guy Ritchie will direct the 10-episode series, which is slated for release later this year. The show Ray Donovan ran for 7 seasons and starred Liev Schreiber as the title character. A subsequent feature film was released that ended with Donovan headed to prison. There's no word yet on whether the Emmy-nominated Schreiber will appear in the new series. Heath Ledger died with a script in the bed next to him. The actor passed away due to an accidental drug overdose at the age of 28 in 2008. The New York Post reports that director Stephen Gagan, who won the Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar for the movie Traffic, told author Malcolm Gladwell on his podcast that Gagan wanted to turn Gladwell's book Blink into a movie starring Ledger. Gagan said after the Oscar-winning Ledger's death, he could not go forward with the project. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mostly sunny and a little breezy today. We'll get to around 50 for a high this afternoon. The wind south at 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, partly cloudy, 32 tomorrow, partly cloudy, 55 by Sunday. Sun in the morning, a few showers in the afternoon with a high near 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. Biomarker testing was a turning point for me. By working with my oncologist, we were able to determine the most appropriate treatment plan. My fear was I wasn't going to be here to see my children grow up. That gave me hope, knowing that I have that chance. And I did. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's
All right. Hey, Sandy, we could hear that.
You could hear me?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Don't do that
they
again.
Asked my shower. My shower tells me not to sing. I should know better.
Hey, Calvin, didn't you warn him? I'm only joking, man.
Hey, I was just letting him feel into the music.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join. It didn't sound bad, Sandy. You made sure you whispered. You're like me, singing is not our talents.
When I was in the choir, they told me to just move my mouth.
Hey, but in this case, we can see you and also hear you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we were talking about, you know, the moon and our conquest on the moon. Let's go to the phone lines and let's go to Cindy from Appleton. Good morning to you, Cindy. Your thoughts?
Well, good morning. I have three things because I have it on some pretty good authority from someone from the NASA program, so to speak. That was at one of my meetings a couple weeks ago that told us that they are sending something to one of the satellites of Saturn soon because they want to try to tap into it and see what's in it. They think there's water in this satellite. Also, they're talking about asteroids. They're talking about bringing asteroids into our orbit system so they can start mining asteroids because they found several asteroids that are very mineral heavy. How in God's name they're planning on doing that is beyond me. But I'm a little surprised at Tom, who seems to be kind of anti-corporation. I don't want to give private enterprises any kind of ability to do whatever they want in space. I mean, they have pretty much destroyed our planet here with their greed and their lack of caring about resource, you know, extractions. I don't want to send them into space to do the same thing.
Well, Sandy, you want to respond to, you know, anything that Cindy
has said? Well, you know, the notion of granting private industry the right to mine has been sort of time immemorial, going back to the kings, right? And I sort of think Norway and a couple of those countries did it right, which is they retained ownership of all the mineral rights. So the Norwegian, every Norwegian citizen has an interest in the Norwegian sovereign fund that's equal to about $250,000. So my hope would be that the United States would look at a lesson like Norway and say, you know, maybe we shouldn't give away these mineral rights in quite the manner that we do, and we ought to retain for the people some of the benefits. So, you know,
you don't say
Norway's is a private public thing, right? It's there's private entities that are extracting the oil, but they're paying the royalties to the people.
You know, Sandy, when that was done in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez, and when that was also done in Libya with Muammar Gaddafi,
back in Iran in 1953, Mogadesh his position was he nationalized Aramco, which was the Iranian oil company that had licenses to with British Petroleum.
Yeah, we were opposed to nations doing exactly what you just said that they were doing in Norway.
Because in Norway, what they did is they retained the ownership of the royalty rights, and they allowed private entities to take the oil out, but the royalties were all earned by the people. So it's kind of a combination public-private thing.
Yeah, but we didn't allow that in these other nations as it related. As you know, with their oil. Let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call, Earl. Really quickly, in response to Tom, and he was talking about the inconvenient truth with Al Gore, I'm going to cite a article from the Investors Daily, and this is from August 3rd of 2017, and in it, it talks about Al Gore, and there was an analysis by the National Center for Public Policy Research. And keep in mind, Al Gore added 33 solar panels to his house. He lives in a house that's 10,000 square feet, has this ginormous pool. The average amount of electricity, even with his solar panels that he has at his home currently, consumes more electricity in 1 year than the average American family uses in 21 years. So I just want to point out, if Tom doesn't believe me, he can certainly look it up himself.
So, Dave, I guess I would ask you, what does that have to do with the conversation about, you know, global climate change?
Okay, so we worry about global climate change, right? So at the end of the day, we know that we've had various periods of warming periods. The medieval was a warming period. We had a cooling period. Actually, in the 1940s was actually a cooling period as well. From the 1930s when we had a tremendous, you know, the Dust Bowl years. And the point is, we didn't start measuring CO2 until the Keeling curve came out in the 1950s. And that was started on the, you know, with Hawaii on the volcano over there. I can't think of the name of the volcano. Anyway, that being said, there's been evidence that temperature is what also drives the CO2 levels to go up and higher and lower, depending on what that is. Now, granted, we are adding some CO2.
So Dave, not to worry. Is that what you're saying?
It's not catastrophic.
No, I think what Dave is trying to say is that he's trying to minimize the extent to which human conduct has affected it. And there's obviously a scientific debate about the extent at the margin to which human conduct is affecting it. But I don't think there is any argument about whether human conduct is affecting it. OK, the question is how much. And obviously there have been cycles of warming and cooling in the past. One thing that, Dave, you're ignoring on the CO2 measurement is that scientists have found other ways to measure CO2 from natural byproducts of CO2 in the environment that predate the measurement, direct measurement of CO2 in the environment. So I think that scientists have been fairly successful at trying to replicate what the CO2 level in the environment was prior to the period of scientific direct measurement of it. And I think there has been clear evidence of its increase. And, you know, there are various explanations of it, but I think neither you nor I, nor any of us in the radio network here, are probably expert enough to understand all the nuances of the science of global warming. But scientists seem to have a relatively unanimous view of what is going on. So I would simply refer ourselves to the scientists.
What I would say to you is this: as growing up as a kid, I remember when we were going to have the next great cooling period in the 1970s. If you remember, they were pushing the fact that the Earth was going to be freezing and what have you back in the 1970s. In 1979, it should be noted that that was the coldest year that we had in the 20th century. And if you look at the satellite data and everything else that they use, they've been using that as a number, a basis, as to actually determination as to temperature rise from a specific date. And the only thing is, and I'll point this out to Sandy as well, the only countries that had accurate data with temperatures and back in the, in the 19th century was Europe and the United States. The rest of the world was not doing measurements of temperatures or anything of that nature. The fact is, let me finish.
Dave, thank you very much for the call. We've got a bank of callers. You know, people can believe what they want to believe, and they're entitled to that. But clearly, as we stated earlier, with what is happening, people can ignore what they want to ignore. They have a right to that. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Stephen.
Good morning, guys. I will tell you, I was also singing to the CCR, and it was a nice little Sandy Williams harmony in my car. So thank you for that. With that being said, I think we see a trend, especially on the Republican side of the aisle, of them discrediting science, whether it's with global warming or whether it's with vaccines. And I think for many reasons, it's a dangerous precedent to be setting. It costs a lot of lives with the current epidemic and with the vaccines. And it's going to continue to cost lives with the global warming of not just humans, but all species on Earth. We're losing ice in Antarctica at rapid rates. And a lot of the animals up in that area rely on the ice sheets up there. It's not normal in Wisconsin to have a 72-degree day in the middle of February. I should not be wearing shorts in the middle of February in the state of Wisconsin. It's alarming. And when I was in grade school, I was taught about global warming. And at that point, I didn't see it. But now, I feel like every day it's getting more and more evident that we are in a warming crisis. And if we don't educate ourselves and turn the tide, we are going to ruin our planet. And that's not me just being, you know, dramatic or whatever. Scientists, I think, will support that if we don't change what we're doing, we are going to ruin our planet.
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mark from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Mark. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl. Ironically, I watched a film last night called Chasing Ice. And it's a documentary made in 2012, and it's, so that's 11 years ago, or 12, almost 12 years ago already. And a person went out and photographed all the ice flows in Greenland, Iceland, Alaska, and other places. And he did time lapse photography, and he rigged cameras to take pictures of these areas over a several-year period. And anybody who doesn't, and his idea was to show people in pictures versus, you know, presenting data that, you know, people don't want to deal with, take the time or understand. Anyway, I encourage everybody to watch it. It costs $3. I think Amazon Prime has it. And for doubters, you know, they at one point he shows that they can go into the core ice, you know, spanning thousands of years and analyze the gas in the core ice. And, you know, this is real. It's science. It's not debatable. The atmospheres change, and they show when humans arrived on the scene, or in the, I should say when the Industrial Revolution started, how it all started to change. So, you know, this is real, and people that can't or don't want to accept it, I mean, they're beyond ignorant.
Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. You know, you tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Big G here from WBZH Radio, The Buzz of the North, live at the Lakewood Cafe on Railroad Street in Hayward, Wisconsin. I just tried the Texas burger. Man, what a burger. A hearty half-pound patty with cheese, onion, mouth-watering barbecue sauce, topped with a crispy onion ring. Served with golden crispy fries and a delightful piece of banana cream pie from their fresh pie case. Trust me, you won't leave the table hungry. Come to the Lakewood Cafe on Railroad Street in Hayward, Wisconsin, and taste the satisfaction for yourself.
Hi, I'm Pete Schwabe, an actor, writer, director, and comedian. Join me for my new show, Nightlight, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll chill after a long day in traffic, talking politics, or trying to look busy at work. We'll talk movies, TV, theater, music, and lots of fun Wisconsin stuff.
So mix an old-fashioned and join the discussion. We'll go from Wisconsin to Hollywood and back, and you can still be in bed at a reasonable hour. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 7 to 9 p.m. on The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 a.m. WBZH.
Now I don't hardly know her, but I think I could love her. Crimson and clover.
All right. Hey, Sandy, I had to dust off the old 45, 45 for Crimson and Clover.
I can remember as a kid, people having boxes filled with 45 RPM records, and they'd go to, you'd go to a party and people would bring their boxes of 45s.
You know, they're back.
Little. They are?
Yeah. Man. Albums. And 45s, you know, I got rid of that stuff a long time. You still got those things?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't have any pocket money to buy things like that. But 45s were like, there was one song on each side, yeah. You know,
Well, but those things are worth a lot of money now. They're retro and albums and those things. Anyway, Sandy. FDA warns against smartwatches and rings that claim to measure blood sugar without needles. Let me ask you, Sandy, these things are on the market. They're everywhere. And how does it get on the market? And now the FDA comes back now after it's out and warns the people about things that are on the market already. I thought the purpose of this, of the FDA, was to prevent those things from coming on the market until they knew the inherent dangers of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether watches end up being considered medical devices or whether you can get watches that claim to do things that they can't do, and it doesn't matter because the FDA doesn't regulate them. And I suspect the latter is true, that a watch is a piece of apparel, and it's not necessarily viewed as a medical device. And so the fact that it makes a claim might not matter. I don't know. I personally thought that the FDA did regulate things that were going to make medical claims like that. And if you were going to make a claim that you could do it, it had to be backed up by testing that the FDA approved. I'm surprised.
Well, it says smartwatches and rings that claim to measure blood sugar levels for medical purposes without piercing the skin could be dangerous and should be avoided. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration warned on Wednesday. The caution applies to any watch or ring, regardless of brand, that claims to measure blood glucose levels in non-invasive way. The agency said the FDA said it has not authorized any such device. Sandy, okay. Well, then how did the device get out there? How do these things get out amongst the people and businesses can make money and the people and the commercials and the people purchase these things and then the FDA comes by afterwards? It's not just this. There are other things. And now the FDA is saying, hey, these things, we haven't approved them yet. How do they get on the market?
Like I said, it must not fall under a category that statutorily requires FDA prior approval. I mean, you know, the FDA operates pursuant to statutory authority, and it must be that the statutory authority they have doesn't give them prior approval for things like watches.
But government creates the statutory authority, right? Elected officials.
Congress does.
Yes, yeah. Right. So that is the reason that these things are allowed to come onto the market is our Congress people don't do their due diligence. Is it safe to say that?
Well, it sounds like this ought to be a wake-up call. You know, the fact that the FDA comes out and says this might suggest that the FDA's authority ought to be broadened,
right?
So that the public is not subject to being fooled by claims that aren't backed up by proper FDA kind of authorization.
You know, Sandy, it's not just this. It's more and more things that, and so it, the FDA, Sandy, we do know the idea of it is certainly the government needs to have that presence in the marketplace. No question, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, Adam Smith, everyone who's even a staunch market proponent would suggest that markets need to be regulated so that they operate correctly. And so part of that regulation should be to protect the public health and welfare with respect to claims made, right? You know, we're no longer in the era of the snake oil salesperson, you know, running around with in a covered wagon, selling stuff, making claims that have no basis. You know, that's what the FDA was designed to avoid.
You know, Sandy, I had a pharmacist on yesterday, and we were talking about supplements. And I said to him, they sell supplements all over the place, and then we buy supplements thinking that they're going to have the things in them that we need. And yet they are filled with all sorts of things that don't do anything to help us. And his response was, well, you know, it's kind of like snake oil salespeople. The supplements, right. It's a wild, wild west. Well, Sandy, who protects us from this stuff, man?
Well, you know, obviously the FDA would be the agency that would protect us from that. And there is a fine line. I mean, you don't want to have chewing gum that's necessarily pre-approved. But you do want to make sure that things that are claim-making medical claims. Now, supplements are very careful, actually, about the things that they claim. They have to walk a fine line. They can't make promises about what can be achieved, so they have to kind of like hint at what it is that might get supported by it. And they all usually have disclaimers as well that suggest that it's not promised, right? It's...
well, Sandy, when we go in and we're looking for an iron supplement, we're thinking that what we're purchasing is going to give us some iron that we need, you know, that we're lacking. And shouldn't we expect that to be what they're selling?
Well, like I said, it depends on the nature of what you're buying. You know, supplements is the Wild West kind of thing. You know, people buy thistle weeds, this and milkweed that, and it's all supposed to do things, and it probably does, but it, you know, it's not clear.
All right, 844-967-2789, Friday with my co-host Sandy Williams and I. News, weather, and sports on the Earl Ingram Show.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports. The Todd Alba Show.
Green Bay is a fine town, but I'm just telling you, you're better off to take a horse. Don't drive in Green Bay, and for God's sake, don't get a parking ticket. So how about this? We find out how much revenue does Green Bay get from parking tickets, and we say that the Packers are going to donate that, and we're going to have free parking in Green Bay. How about that? Todd for mayor of Green Bay.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Today could bring significant news in former President Trump's legal battles, final argument.